But I wasn't real confident I was going to win.
Oh, it's...
Vic asked me, he said, Randy, you're a pretty good handicapper. So I said, well, let me tell you, in all the races I'm in, I said, every one of the races I'm in, I bet myself, except maybe the risk adverse. I said, you know.
Come in a little bit. There you go. And you're looking to, just center up on that.
Great, thank you.
Good?
Great, thank you. Perfect.
All right, they're running the open. I'm going to open on this camera, a single shot of me, and I'll just intro the show, and then we'll pull you in.
Okay.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. We are live from Saratoga, as we are every racing day during the Saratoga racing season. Looks like it's going to be a nice day today. Obviously, though, there was some weather yesterday. 5, 7, and 10 are off the turf today. That means the risk averse, the feature, remains on. So mark that on your program as you prepare for the day. A little bit later on our program, Dave Grenig will join us. Daily Racing Forum, going to go over some of the Saturday stakes action with Dave. Also going to talk with Jim Bond. He's having a pretty nice meet. We'll touch on some of the winners he's had so far. But also he's on the board of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, and wanted to touch on that because tomorrow's New York Showcase Day. So we'll just get some of the highlights of owning and breeding here in New York with Jim. But top of the show, obviously the big weekend, the highlight of the meet, the Travers comes up on Saturday. Tax enters the race off a nice win in the Jim Dandy and goes into the Travers. Is one of the horses you have to pay a lot of attention to. And we talked with one of the owners. We talked with both of the owners, Randy Hill and Dean Reeves, after the win in the Jim Dandy. But I also wanted to get a little preview on the Travers this week. Randy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Prominent owner Randy Hill you and I were talking before we went on. It looks like it could be a fun next few days. You're in a number of stakes. I want to touch on a bunch of those. But before we do, just talk a little bit. You've been an owner now for a number of years. How did you first get interested in the game?
I've been interested in, I guess, out of college. I came up to Saratoga one weekend, and I just fell in love with Saratoga. And so I worked out on Wall Street, and I happened to do a really big deal. And I said, I'm going to buy two horses so I can race at Saratoga, and that's the only two horses I'm ever going to own. And that was 20 years ago, and I don't know how much money and how many horses, but here I am today.
As I was reading some bio information last night, I read, essentially it was, you know, a lot of people, hey, I want to win the Derby, I want to go here, I want to go there, but your quotes early on were, I want to get some horses up at Saratoga.
My dream was always to come and win the Travers. And my wife once told me, she said, I promise you the Travers. And so I guess after about 10 or 12 years when I wasn't anywhere close, I said, maybe that promise is not going to come true. But I can say one thing, I'm living the dream.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about it. It has been a great season. Early on, Tax and Bacoma on the Derby Trail. That's been a lot of fun. But again, let's go over what you have coming up over the next few days, starting with Tax. Was at the draw on Tuesday night downtown. The outside post position, Danny Gargan got up and said, we're going from the 12 post position. While we talk, we'll take a look at the Jim Dandy win earlier in the meet. Tax is going to be the number two horse in here. Number five, Tacitus, second. Global Campaign, third. But again, a nice win in the traditional prep over the track for the Travers. What were your thoughts coming out of the Jim Dandy? And how more importantly, with the drawn under your belt and whatnot, what are your thoughts going into Saturday for Tax?
Well, You can imagine my thoughts coming out of the Jim Dandy to win that race and realize that you really have a real legitimate shot and a real contender in the Travers. And then, you know, you go to the draw and you draw the 12. Well, it's funny. You're sitting there and you have no control, and they're pulling the pills, and then you end up with two slots, and one's the 2 and one's the 12, and you're not sure you want either one of them. So you get to 12, and I was initially disappointed, and I thought about it overnight, and I'm not that disappointed. I mean, Catholic Boy won it from the 12 last year. I've got IRAD on me, and I'm sure if there's anybody going to carve out a trip, it's going to be that man. And if you look at the Travers, there's not much speed. We all know that. You know, with maximum security out, so, and also, you're doing a mile and a quarter, so you got some time to make some decisions and get yourself positioned. Then you've got the right guy doing it. I mean, if you wanted to pick a jockey to carve out that trip, and as hot as he's been up here, I'm pretty happy. I like my chances.
Yeah, you have the length of the stretch, and it's not like 18, 19, 20 in the Derby. I mean, it's 12. That's more of a normal kind of occurrence. And again, you have really the length of the stretch to get some position. And with a little bit of speed and the lack of it for the rest of the field, it seems like going into the first turn, you should be in a good spot.
I think we're going to be okay. And you look at this race, and there's two questions. There's a question of the speed in the race, and there's a question of which horses can get the distance. If we handicap, those are the two questions that cross your mind. Who's going to the front, and who can get the distance? I mean, certainly Code of Honor ran a terrific race at a Dwyer. Can he get the distance? I don't know. Owen Dale, he won the Ohio Derby. He's probably going to be able to get the distance. But, I know we can get the distance. We were bred for this, and so I can't be more confident going in than I am.
Also has to be a bonus that you have a win over the track. I mean, that's always a plus up here.
Of course. He likes the track, and any owner wants to feel that you want to run back in a track that a horse likes.
Talk a little bit about how you wound up being a part owner of Tax, because that's kind of an interesting story
It's a funny story. So Danny called me up, and Danny claimed a horse, a mare for me called Divine Miss Gray, for about $50,000, I think. I can't remember, maybe $40,000, who goes on to win six or seven stakes races and $800,000. So I'm going through a really bad stretch, and if your owners are listening, you know how that goes. You're getting down, and you're not winning anything, and the bills are coming in. And Danny calls up and says, I'm going to claim this horse. I said, Danny, I have enough horses. I have enough bills. Not me this time. So then he runs in, I guess he ran in the Remsen, and he ran third.
Yeah.
So I called up Danny. I said, okay, Danny, I went back in. He goes, it's not going to be for $50,000. Let me tell you. So it was a little expensive, and I partnered up with Dean Reeves, and we bought back in, and we're now the majority owners in the horse. So.
Yeah, subsequently a second in the Wood Memorial, up the track in the Derby, but Derby's a tough one. Derby, you look at the resume of a lot of horses over their career. That's kind of the one aberration, the win in the Jim Dandy. So, again, a nice choice jumping back in. So good luck there.
I just mentioned one thing, if I might.
Sure, absolutely.
The horse ran a 98. That was a top buyer figure for him. And I will tell you unequivocally, the horse is in better shape. He's the fittest he's ever been. He is better than he was going into the Jim Dandy. And coming out of the Jim Dandy, we went a career top on the track, and then we go out and run it. We do a workout that's mind-blowing. So I think we're ready.
Yeah, you were saying before we went on the air, you're feeling good about your chances in all of these stakes pretty much over the next few days. And Tax, certainly. Do you look, you mentioned the buyer numbers. You look at other numbers?
Sure, I do. I mean, they're all right around the same thing.
Yeah.
A Maximum Gusto, Baffert Switch ran 100, Owen Dale was in 99. We're all around the same thing. I think that in any sport, you want to be peaking at the right time, whether you're going into the Super Bowl, whether you're going to the World Series. I've got a horse that's peaking at the right moment, at the right track, at the right time, and that's why I'm so confident.
Yeah, and it's a three-year-old season where Maximum Security certainly is kind of risen to the top a little bit, but I think once you get past that one, and he's not here on Saturday, once you get past that one, I think it's an open three-year-old division. And so, yeah, exactly. You horse with a win over the track coming in good form, I think you're in good shape. It seems like.
Well, we hope so.
Let's talk a little bit earlier on Saturday. The Sword Dancer, you have one in there, Channel Maker. We're going to go back. We're going to look at the Man of War back in May. Channel Maker is going to be the number 8 horse in here and get it done in a gutsy performance over a late closing Arklow. Subsequently, a couple of fourth places finishes in the Manhattan and the Bowling Green. The Bowling Green was a fourth by less than a length, though. That was a nice performance up here at Saratoga. What are your thoughts on Saturday and the Sword Dancer with Channel Maker?
Well, I mean, I have to give Louis a lot of credit when he ran back in the Bowling Green. I mean, he went out, he took the lead, and he made us chase him. I think that was difficult. I think that we had the two best rag numbers of the last two races. I had the best rag numbers in those races, so that doesn't mean you're the best horse because you still got to run the race. But I'm very confident. I think turf, it's the trip. With the trip you get, we all know a mile and a half is a tough distance. So again, there's not much speed again in this race. So Channel Maker certainly has changed his running style last year and became a much better horse trying to run up on the front. So I don't know what Louis is going to do and Todd, but I mean, I think that I think we got a good chance. I mean, I think I've got as good a chance as anybody else in the race. I think it's going to come down to, in that race, more of the trip and racing luck and how we turn out. But I certainly like him. Certainly.
Yeah, he's a solid stakes level turf performer. Certainly. How'd you get in on Channelmaker?
Actually, I got a call that they were interested in maybe selling it. So I called up Dean and we looked at the horse and I thought, look, here's a proven Grade One winner horse. Here's a horse that's a gelding. Usually they get better. Channelmakers has historically gotten better as they've gotten older. So I thought, you know, we could get into this horse. We could buy into this horse, and you're going to be racing grade one stakes. That's where you want to be. And I said to Dean, you know, look how much we pay for yearlings. You know, they haven't even raced yet. So, I mean, a funny story about that is I once got my partner who works with me, who was an accountant before we became partners, and I talked him into going partners with me in a horse. So we go down to Keeneland, and we're watching the horses, you know, let them walk. So we picked one out that we were going to go bid on, and so she said, where are we going? I said, we're going back to bid on her. She said, when do we see them run? He said, we buy them before they run? He said, I'm going to the airport. I'm going home.
And I'm guessing that's kind of your philosophy now, though, that as opposed to going to the yearling sales and taking shots like that, why not spend the money on a proven performer?
I think that's a way to succeed. You also want to buy some yearlings. But here's what's changed my game, is I have a lot of partners now. And that gives you the ability to spread out. If it's just you, there's only so many horses you can buy. There's so much money you can afford to go in on a channel maker. By myself, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that. And so it also helps pay the bills, which, you know, you buy the horse, that's fine. Then the bills come in and are not winning. That's when the game gets a little depressing. So the important part is to have good partners. And I've always said one thing. I said, look, it's easy to have a partner with a bad horse. It's hard to have a partner when you have a good horse. And I've had a number of good horses over this year, and I could say my partners, you know, Matt and Mike Gaddis and Dean Reeves have been great partners. I don't think we've ever had one time we've disagreed. So it's been a wonderful experience, and I think the ability to spread out has given you options that I never had before.
Yeah, partnership has changed the game. There's no doubt about it, and there's a lot of that now that we see last 5 or 10 years. But also, you know, as I say, the day after the Jim Dandy, we had you and Dean in, and I think it's got to be fun also just to be able to share the joy of victory with a group of people.
Absolutely. There's nothing like sharing things with your friends, and your partners become your friends, not just your business. This is not like a business deal. You know, there's a lot of emotion involved here. I mean, I remember J.J. Pletcher once said, when Randy wins a race, the whole track knows. So I was laughing about it the other day. I was looking at the Naira commercial, and there was a two-second split of me standing up, and what they didn't know was for a $25,000 claimer.
That's great. That's the enthusiasm you see all over the place up here at Saratoga. And again, you'll have the opportunity over the weekend for plenty of that. Kicking off today, in fact, in the risk averse, I mentioned earlier, that one's still on the turf. I looked up a race from Kempton back in May for Hotsy Totsy. This is a horse that has been racing in Europe, right. Shows up this afternoon in the risk averse in the first start in the United States. This win was back in May that we're looking at, subsequently went to Ascot and ran a good third at Ascot. How did you, were you in Hotsy Totsy when she was in Europe, or did you get in and then bring the horse over here?
Yeah, Dean called me, and somebody found the horse for Dean, and Dean called me and says, you want to go to Ascot? So you have a few dreams in life, you know. I said, sure. So I looked at the horse.
This was the race just before Ascot.
Yes, this was the race that he won. The race he won before Ascot. So I bought him, and he won a race, which is a nice thing. Sometimes you buy him, and they run last. So he won that, and I thought he ran a great race at Ascot. I mean, I thought that he could have won the race. He dwelled in the gate.
Yeah, third in a field of 27.
I never saw anything like it. Actually, the funny thing is, if you've never seen the race starts in another town. So you can't, binoculars, you can just about see the gate. So, and plus, it was raining yesterday. I was a pretty happy guy because I know European horses like soft better. And I think, you know, that race is tough. You're in Chad's world here. He's got two, you know, like we say, it's Chad's world and we're all playing in it. And so he's got two tough horses. So if I need any kind of edge, I got a little bit. And it was raining when that rainstorm hit yesterday. I said, okay, slow down a little bit. Let's at least stay on the
turf. Stay on the turf, yeah.
I can't run a step on the dirt. So So at least I got a little edge there.
So that's this afternoon in the Riska versus tomorrow in the Albany on New York Showcase Day. You've got a couple of New York breds in the three-year-old stakes race. Let's take a look at each of those one by one. And first we'll take a look New York Stallion Series from earlier this meet. Rinaldi, we're going to have Jim Bond on in a few minutes. Rinaldi wins the number three, but Funny Guy runs second. This was a turf race. Tomorrow it's on the dirt. Talk a little bit about Funny Guy coming out of the nice second last time on the turf and the move over the dirt on Friday.
He's a better horse on the dirt. You know, you got to take shots in these New York Stallion races because they're for so much money. And so I think that, and to be quite honest, I thought Rinaldi was good. I didn't know he was this good.
This was a breakout race for him.
So I think the Funny Guy's coming to the race again in good form, and I think we have a good chance there. But I think my other horse may be a bit better.
Let's talk about that one. Not that Brady. We're going to look at the New York Derby out at the Finger Lakes. It was that weekend where all the Saturday races were canceled here because of the heat. There are Finger Lakes as well, so it was moved to midweek. But subsequently, just a few days later, Bankett gets it done. Bankett's going to be the winner. You went off as the 7-5 favorite with the number one, Not That Brady, run second in here. Coming out of the New York Derby, what are your thoughts Friday for Not That Brady?
Well, two things about that race. We shipped him up the morning of it. Maybe we shouldn't have. He's a pretty aggressive horse, and he was very docile in the paddock, which was not a good sign. So I think that you know, he's running better races. You know, he finished second to Tax and the Withers. You know, he's running in graded stakes. I think that, you know, if he gets the lead, he's going to be tough to beat. But if you want to hear a really funny story about getting involved in a horse, we have four dogs. And my wife, Marina, names one of our horses after all of our dogs. So she said, I want to name the horse Brady. I said, Marina, I work in New York City. I'm a New York Giant fan. If I name a horse Brady, no one in the office will speak to me. So I said we could name it Not That Brady. So we ran the horse, and you know, we had no success with the horse. Nothing. I think he ran last by 27 lengths. We put him up for a claim. Rudy got him, moved him up, and then he's running the Withers. And I'm thinking, my God, I haven't told my wife that I sold her horse yet. I'm afraid to tell her because these horses that are named after dogs are like her pets. So I'm thinking, he wins, he's second to Withers. I said, if this horse gets in the Derby, just imagine I'm sitting there with Facoma and Tax, and they announce Not That Brady, and we're not in it. I'll get divorced. So I called up Rudy. I said, you got to let me back in. I said, and nobody wanted to sell. No, I mean, it was, Rudy really did me a favor. I said, Rudy, I'm going to owe you one for a long time. So that's how I got back in that horse.
That's very good. Randy, got to let you go, but certainly, again, it's fun when a guy like you who has the enthusiasm that those of us who are on the other side and playing the game have, and it's always fun to watch in these stakes days and when you have some live horses. Wish you a lot of luck over the weekend, and appreciate the visit.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, and it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Seth.
Randy Hill, he's got Tax in the Travers and a number of other nice stakes performers coming up over the next few days. Coming up next, Jim Bond. We'll talk a little New York breeding, but also some of the horses he's had win at the meet. He's having a nice meet so far. Jim Bond up next. Stay tuned. That was okay. Great. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
That was close.
Let me grab the mic.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't want to take that home with me.
Everybody does that.
Anyway, thanks.
I appreciate it. That was fun.
Look, I'm having fun with the game.
Oh, I'm sure.
So you might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your stopping by. Good luck.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy. Best of luck, buddy.
Every race.
Good luck.
They're bringing in the big guns now.
How are you, Jim?
Jim, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.
Oh, no, we appreciate you stopping.
I'm going to clip this on you. If you could slide
it
in nice and tight to the desk, I appreciate it.
Perfect.
Anything you want to hit on? Otherwise, just in general, we'll hit on some of your winners and talk a little New York breds and yada yada.
Yep. Got some nice two-year-olds, some nice yearlings. Very lucky.
Boy, it's getting humid again.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to break.
It's supposed to break, I think, today, hopefully.
Oh, okay. Tina, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, feel free. Here we come. Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thursday morning here at Saratoga. Don't forget, low rollers today. Jump in, take a shot, low rollers. I have to get my brain back in gear after having made a huge blunder, low rollers on Sunday, when I pushed the wrong button. Otherwise, it would have been in a money position. And you don't get that many opportunities. It's only 5 days later, and it's still working on me. But I'll regroup today and take my shot. Don't forget, it's over in the carousel area, the four-star day bar area on the ground floor, the back of the grandstand. You can sign up. It's a lot of fun every Thursday and Sunday, the low rollers. All right, as promised before the break, joined now by Jim Bond. Very nice 2019 season so far, and still a week and a half left to make some more fireworks happen. Jim, good morning.
Morning, Seth.
Get to see you and your horses every morning as we drive in. I'm halted out there as the workers go across the street, and then a couple of golf carts zip by. You're right down the street, and I talk a little bit about, again, about your location up here in Saratoga, which you've been at for a number of years now.
Well, it's been 20 years now. We've been out the back gate here on the main course, and like I said, we got a nice 40-stall barn, and thank God it's full, and a few of them can run, and they've been very kind to us this meet.
Yeah, so far so good. And you're a player here really from the opening to the closing. And for folks who aren't familiar, the training happens up here, not just during the meet itself, but what, April to October?
Exactly, yeah. You're here almost to November sometime, middle of November, depending on the weather, of course. And we just keep switching horses back and forth to Belmont and around the country.
And all the off-season training happens across the street?
Across the street, yeah. Yes. And Naira lets us kind of jog across the main course on the outside to get over there, so it's a little easier. And like I say, the horses kind of love it up here as well as this trainer does.
Yeah, we, as I say, we see your horses walking through in the morning, and clearly they enjoy the Saratoga. We all enjoy the Saratoga mornings. But Saratoga afternoons have also been very nice. Let's take a look at a couple of your runners from recent weeks. Want to go back to July 24th. We just watched this race with Randy Hill, and he commented, I didn't know how good Rinaldi was, as he ran second in the race. I want to know if you knew how good Rinaldi was, because, again, we're going to go back to the New York Stallion Series race back on July 24th. Number three, Rinaldi. Chart margin of 4.25 lengths. Boy, he looked great this day. Give us your thoughts on the performance by Rinaldi.
I had his sister. She was a really talented filly, a filly called Hot and Spicy. She won first time at Gulfstream, went up and beat a pretty nice filly called Lexi Lou, was Horse of the Year up in Canada. So we kind of knew we had a nice horse. We seemed like he just trained very, very perfect. He should have won his first start, got really jammed leaving the gate. And we ran him back in the Stallion Series up at Belmont, and he was, you know, ran a really nice race, broke his maiden in a stake, and then come back here. And, you know, this horse has got, he's just got a lot of poise, a lot of class. And he's got Dynaform around the bottom with a little posse up top, and that's what you get right there. And like I said, we're going to wheel him back into Saranac. He works tomorrow morning.
Oh, nice.
Open company, which is guard that water gets deep, but he's a three-year-old.
Deserves it off of that, though. Now you mentioned the first two. The first start, 6 furlongs down at Belmont, a decent third. But clearly it was a third, so I hadn't broken the maiden. Then you had enough confidence to second start, try that Stallion Series at 7 furlongs. And it was a half a length over Funny Guy, so clearly improved markedly with a 4.75 length victory over Funny Guy in the subsequent New York Stallion Series start up here. That was at a mile, around two turns. Did he benefit from the two turns?
Big time, yeah. The Dynaformer came out on him, I think, on the bottom, and he's just been training tremendously here up here.
So the Saranac is?
Mile and a 16th.
And it's coming,
yep,
and coming
that's
up?
That comes 31st.
All right, so we'll look for Rinaldi there again, off a really nice victory early in the meet, and only the third career start. Want to take a look at another winner of yours. This is going back to August 4th. We're going to take a look at Way Smart. Nice big field in here at 12. Gets it done by a length and a half. Way Smart is going to be the number two horse in here. It's a state bred allowance. Non-winners have won other than. Talk a little bit about Way Smart and the performance here. Jose Ortiz on board that day.
Well, I've been waiting to run this filly for better than 8 weeks, and she's probably her mile. Looks like her really hits her in the head. Nothing was in the book, and so we decided to try the mile and a 16th. And Jose just, you know, when I threw him up, I said, she's a miler. You got to ride her like a miler. And he did. He waited, and, you know, she's just got a lot of talent. She's always had issues. She's a full sister to Giselle that was, of course, second to four-star Crook last year. So, you know, she's got some back class there. And like I say, hopefully she won't be here running back here, but she'll run back hopefully in New York later on, and hopefully – add to her earnings.
So look for something down at Belmont, maybe?
Exactly.
You know, you mentioned looking for spots and whatnot. Talk a little bit about that. For folks who don't know, don't own, aren't on that side of the game, that's part of the puzzle of owning and training, finding spots, and sometimes they just don't show up in the book when your horse is ready, and that's got to be frustrating. The
most important part of this game is knowing how to read that condition book and those races, and, you know, there's just distances that, you know, you just know that you're just a little too short, too long, whatever it is, and, you know, do you run, and then if that race comes back in 3 weeks, are you good enough to repeat? So it's a touchy, touchy game, and like I say, the condition book kind of rules the roost for all of us, and then the weather.
Yeah, well, and the weather has been a little bit funky here, and some of your winners have been, as we've seen, turf runners, and so that has affected everybody playing the turf game, certainly. I don't know if I've ever seen – it's Saratoga. It's always quirky, but, boy, it's been quirky. I mean, like, this yesterday was the perfect example. It's kind of it was in here doing the show, and at 10:30, a torrential downpour, and then it was nice, and then – sixth race, they tried to speed it up, and then they decided, we'll delay it, and I hadn't seen a storm like that this summer.
No,
it was crazy.
It was,
and then 2 hours later, the sun was out again.
Yeah, it's Saratoga.
Yeah, it is Saratoga. There's no question about that. Both of the two horses we looked at owned at least partnership, one fully, one in partnership by Bond Racing, and your wife Tina's in the tent here. We had her with you last year talking about Bond Racing. Just remind people, because it's a partnership that I think focuses a little bit on locals, and so if folks are maybe thinking about getting into the game, talk a little bit about Bond Racing.
Bond Racing is majority owned by my wife, Tina, okay? We always keep at least 50% or more, and basically you're partnered up with a trainer and the owner who tells the trainer what to do. So bottom line is it's fun. It gets people started in this game to see if they like it. It's a very expensive game, and you kind of need to, you know, feel it out, and I guess what better way that, you know, if you're a local person, to have a horse possibly at Saratoga most of the year, and, you know, you get to partner up with, you know, some people that we've been doing it a few years, needless to say, and, you know, just it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of great clients that just, they're having some fun. They make a little bit of money sometimes, you know, it's just wonderful.
And I see it a lot up here at Saratoga, not necessarily with Bond Racing, with all the partnerships up here. You go out in the paddock or backstretch here. You see the people kind of filtering through as partnership members. They get the access to the backstretch and their horses. And I think a big part of it, certainly here at Saratoga, is just the social aspect and the camaraderie.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, like I said, there's a ton of partnerships out there today, and they're probably all great, okay? But it just gets people's feet wet and gets them to Saratoga to really enjoy the atmosphere and, you know, visit with the jockeys, visit with the good trainers, and, you know, like I say, and maybe someday, okay, they might get lucky and, you know, get a funny side or something like that.
Or a Rinaldi.
Or Rinaldi.
Exactly. You get to go in the paddock and hopefully the winner's circle as well up here at Saratoga. Also, and again, for folks who want more information, jamesbondracing.com is the website, and they can also take a look. You have a nice video of your farm out. Is it still water technically?
Yeah, still Mechanicville, exactly.
Songhill Farm, and I think we have some of the video here, nice kind of a drone shot overview. Talk a little bit about the farm, and I was pulling up some stats. Also, you had a number of runners in the Saratoga sale up here, number of yearlings that sold back at the couple of weeks ago in the sale who had spent some time on the farm. Talk a little about the farm and the services offered there.
Well, the farm is it's a little bit, this drone picture here is a little older, but there's a new actually riding arena and a new broodmare barn actually now that is just parallel to this new that existing barn. And it's really nice because that area there that's kind of blank is it's nice for foals. They get to go out in the arena in the wintertime, so we kind of build a horse a little stronger, and we get to break all our yearlings there on the farm now, which is really, really handy. And so we've, needless to say, invested quite a lot more money into it, and we're pretty excited because we got a bunch of really nice two-year-olds this year, and our yearlings look exceptional. And we have a lot of clientele that has been kind enough to let us take care of their mares, and we foaled up 51 this year. We had 54 last year. And six of them went through the sale here at the preferred sale the other day and did very, very well. And like I say, so we're a small part of it, and we kind of get them started, and they're onward and upward, and hopefully they get in good hands and win lots of races in New York.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list. There's a Run Happy and Into Mischief, a Hard Spawn, and all attracted very, very nice prices at the sale over there, having spent time there at Songhill. Talk a little bit about You say 51 foals this year, you said?
51 foals.
I have a friend who does a foal watch at foaling time, which is kind of an overnight thing. Talk about foaling and the foaling process and what goes into that, because once it's that season, it's pretty much a 24-hour thing where you kind of have to keep your eyes because there's no telling when it might happen.
It happens every – so sometimes we had three in one day within inside of 3 hours one day. We got great staff, needless to say. We always have three people on at night just in case for emergency. We've been very lucky. We were 51 for out of 52 this year, which we're really proud of, and 54 straight last year. So, again, you know, it's detail, paying attention, and hoping that everything goes right. And hopefully if you need a veterinarian, you know, we've got great staff and great veterinarians that help us. But the bottom line is, you know, you're just kind of watching a baby, watching a child. You know, they get a little temperature, you need to react.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really kind of basic. But my staff is second to none. My wife kind of manages the farm and does all that. And every once in a while, they'll call me in for a headache, and I'll try to figure it out.
One of the other reasons I wanted you in today, the two horses we looked at, Waysmart and Rinaldi, New York breds, and you're on the board of the New York bred breeders, New York thoroughbred breeders. Tomorrow is New York Showcase Day, so I just wanted you to take the opportunity to talk a little bit about the New York bred program and the benefits of breeding and racing in New York.
It's just the greatest program in the world. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, okay, but you know, if you don't get exactly what you get at the sales, you can get possibly Breeders' Awards afterwards. So you kind of just keeps coming. When we get an annuity check, I call it every 60 days, and it just kind of keeps you going. It gets us to maybe breed up and things like that. So you can start maybe with a New York sire and then go to a little higher sire and go farther. But for trainers, okay, it's a great, great start because you can start them in the New York bred category, and if they're good enough, you can venture out. So there's almost five conditions that you can kind of win, okay, and then get into the state category if he's good enough. But you can build a horse's heart up, I call it. And, you know, they're a little tougher than New York bred races are. You're seeing a lot more pedigrees, as you saw there in the sales. But still, okay, they're winnable. And in the wintertime, I mean, the New York breds, I mean, thank God for New York breds, or might not have, yeah, have a winter program. I mean, it's just, they're unbelievable. And as you can tell by Friday's card, I mean, it's a full fields everywhere, okay? And it's good money, and it's great competitive races and great betting races, I think. So we're very fortunate to have this program. And like I say, the breeders here do a nice job, and we're all learning more every year. You know, we'll never be compared to Kentucky, unfortunately, but we're trying.
Well, last year certainly was a banner year with the Whitney Diversify and Mind Your Biscuits. New York bred sale was very successful last year. Better numbers in categories this year, certainly. And as you alluded to, I think if we look and you look at the sire names and whatnot, over the past 10 years or so, the program has clearly improved.
Huge, huge. I mean, it's really, really exciting, actually.
Yeah, and certainly Song Hill a part of that. Whenever I get trainers in here, I like to talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of it. And given that you guys are right down the street and I see the horses walk by, you use Clear Court?
Yes, actually, there was a horse just behind me. He was jogging, okay, that was a little stiff coming out of a race. And I just had her under the trees just now. And like I say, so we use Clear Court. That's kind of my 7 o'clock set, I call it, okay? The first two sets go to Oklahoma. But the bottom line is it's the most beautiful little track that mentally and physically, okay, just kind of a horse that's a little bit, got a little issues, a horse who need to get up mentally off the main track, it just changes their mind, okay? And it really, it's the greatest tool in the whole world, and I just love it, and thank God it's in my backyard.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that, because whenever I ask a trainer that, that's the answer. They say mentally, it just, it's a shift.
Exactly.
And being out here every day and just enjoying the view, mentally for me, it's a shift. So I can see where it would work, and it gets them out of probably what is more of a routine of going to the main track. This is a little bit different opportunity,
yeah,
out here.
It's kind of like driving out of the city and coming to the country.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually. And it is, again, a beautiful spot. We're happy to be here with it to our back all the time. I'll have to look for the 007 out there a little more often. Although you say 7 o'clock. With the 9 o'clock show, I'm usually about 8:55, so I may miss your horses out
we'll
here.
We'll tape it for you.
Jim, again, it's been a really nice Saratoga meet so far. Certainly we'll look for Rinaldi facing Open Company a little bit later in the meet. We'll look for Waysmart down at Belmont, but we wish you a lot of success going forward, and congratulations so far.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Jim Bond, again, if you'd like more information, you think maybe you'd like to jump in as a partner on Bond Racing. Go to jamesbondracing.com, and you can check out the video we saw of Song Hill and much, much more. So swing on by and learn more about that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will continue with this Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned. Thank you. Very
thank
you, good.
Seth, as always, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that was fun.
Very nice. Now back to reality.
Work.
How'd we do?
You did awesome. Thanks for the plugs.
Happy to do it. Happy to do it.
Thanks
that's
again,
what we're here
Seth.
For.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Dave, good morning. Let me, where am I? Yes, we'll just
go backwards.
Yeah.
That's not really best
yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You got it.
Testing 1, 2. Good.
Brian, you have Dave? Yeah, he's got you.
All right. Sorry for the schlub appearance, but
oh, no.
I was going to go home and after training, but
15 seconds. Yeah, that's fine. That's, believe me. I wish I was looking like boring one of this jack. All right, here we go. Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thursday morning means a visit from the Daily Racing Forum team, either Mike Welch or Dave Grenick on the rotation. Dave Grenick, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. And we're going to talk Saturday stakes, obviously, with an incredible card on Saturday up here. Before we do that, I wanted to go back to last weekend, your impressions, Dunbar Road in the Alabama, and the fluky situation in the Lake Placid with the undecipherable photo that wound up in a dead heat.
Yeah, well, it's seeming becoming an annual occurrence now with on a major Saturday we get this Wizard of Oz-like storm that creates havoc. Whitney last year and this year the Alabama Dunbar Road, you know, very impressive performance, had to go widest of all and outfinish Point of Honor, who I thought was better equipped at the time to get the mile and a quarter, but Dunbar Road obviously can handle as well. And you know, Chad Brown has the luxury of being able to sort of swap in and out Guarana and Dunbar Road, so they get the proper freshening and the proper spacing, and he brings them in well prepared. The Lake Placid, to me, it looked like you know, live, I thought Varenka had won it, and then obviously then now I thought Chad's filly had won it, and then the photo as longer was taking, it was like, well, maybe they can't figure it out, and it's kind of an odd situation where they don't. Now, if you look at the photo, you see Varenka's body, the jockey, is ahead of Chad's filly there, Regal Glory, and you know, but the photo itself, it's hard to tell, and Basoka's who's so dark, but I don't quite understand why there's no lights on the photo finish camera here. I mean, they've only had a, you know, 150 some odd years to figure that out. That needs to be rectified, and I'm gonna be pretty sure that it will be.
Yeah, you would think so. And I referred back to, well, the Birdstone Travers kind of gave you a hint.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe we need.
I don't know if any of the current management team was even here 15 years ago, so they might not have remembered.
It also may be, well, if the Birdstone Travers shows up again, we won't be on the turf. Maybe that's the thinking. But it was, boy, I mentioned it earlier, the quirky weather we've had. I mentioned with Jim Bond yesterday. You mentioned Wizard of Oz like yesterday, the sixth race. First it was, we're going to hurry up the post time, and then lightning struck, and they said, no, now we're going to delay in about 35 minutes. But, man, that storm, and I saw some pictures subsequently, trees down around the track and whatnot. It's just been part of Saratoga 2019.
I just came from Chad Brown's barn, and the barn next to him, there's a big yellow front loader, I think, holding up the pole that has a light pole and the power. It's literally holding it up. I might tweet it out later or show it to you. But it's like, whoa, what happened there? So, yes, some very strange things. They even said something about a down tree on the horse path yesterday, they said.
I heard that.
You know, after that storm. So,
now,
yes, it's been quite the event.
All of that said, I think the next 3 days are supposed to be nice. So, not yet. Given Saratoga 2019.
You know what? I wouldn't envy being a weatherman up here. But I guess if you just say possibility of this and chance of that, you're covered. And you can go on, but it seems like we get something of note every day.
Every day, it seems like. just before we move on, I want to touch on, because I was reading some of your columns last night, and it looks like, given that the Cotillion is essentially the last big restricted three-year-old filly race, and Ched has two, Guarana to the Cotillion, and Dunbar Road likely to face older next time.
Probably. I think that's there's really no other spot for her against straight three-year-olds that makes any sense. I could see the Spinster potentially being a spot. You know, the Beldame, a lot of people don't remember, was downgraded this year to a grade two.
Oh.
Although that's one of those inexplicable decisions as well for another day. But so if you want to keep her running in grade ones, you might have to look at a race like the Spinster at Keeneland in October. Which I think would be like a week after the Beldame. But the Beldame kind of makes sense, too, because she is two for two around the one turn at Belmont. But I think he wants to keep her with grade ones and would probably look to run her in the Spinster.
Although grade two versus older maybe in eclipse people's minds, gets a little more juice.
Well, you know what's going to happen? Look, what's likely going to happen or potentially going to happen, if Guarana wins the Cotillion, these two are going to have to meet somewhere at the Breeders' Cup. And they're going to take on the older fillies who are very good, as we'll get to the personal ends. And if you were able to beat or split those types of horses, that'll decide it when the two meet each other.
All right, let's jump in and talk about some of the stakes action coming up on Saturday, and let's kind of work our way back from the Grade 1 Travers. $1.25 million up for grabs, mile and a quarter. You were at the draw Tuesday night. Field of 12 in here. Tax got the outside post position. I had Randy Hill on earlier, and we heard Danny Gargan say at the draw, I'm outside, I'm going to go. So that's going to be the game plan with Tax in a field that really is kind of lacking some speed, but it's intriguing. I mean, we're missing Maximum Security. We're missing Game Winner. Bob Baffert brings in Mucho Gusto, though, as the B plan. Code of Honor, very, very intriguing. Looking at Bikinis, I thought was interesting in the Curlin. And being lightly raced, that one could step forward. Endorsed off the second in the Curlin is interesting. Highest Honors won that race. I'm going to pull up the direction I'm going. I like Owendale. I've liked Owendale for a while now. Going to pull up that Ohio Derby win. Owendale's going to be the number two horse here. Get it done by half a length. Class-wise, to only beat this field by half a length, maybe a little bit of a question mark. But I go back a couple of starts to take a look at the third in the Preakness, and that's more what pulled me into the mix. The layoff, I think Brad Cox mentioned at the draw, he likes the layoff because it kind of pairs up with a nice performance he had in the Lexington earlier. So to me, Owendale's interesting. What are your thoughts on the Travers?
Well, just for Owendale, I picked Owendale in the Preakness. I liked him a lot, and I hope it was upset, disappointed when he got nosed out for second by Everfast. The question there is, how good was the Preakness? How good a race was it? It was, you know, the War of Will didn't run very well in either the Belmont or the Jim Dandy. Everfast was, after that. So it's you wonder how good a race that actually was. But the problem for me with Owendale is I haven't seen him. He's out of sight, out of mind. I do want to point out, though, when you look at the past performances, it looks like there's a work missing, and there is, August 3rd, August 17th. He worked August 10th, but for some reason it didn't get recorded at Churchill Downs. And he even referred to that work as one of his better works that he's had. So he's, from Brad's eye, he's training very well. I'm looking to give Tacitus one more shot here. I know the favorite rarely wins at Travers. I think Alpha Dead hitting with Golden Ticket a few years ago was the last time the favorite won the race. I do believe he will be the favorite. You know, he had an excuse in the Belmont, I thought, from the wide trip, maybe from an overconfident ride, or maybe the post 10 did him in. I don't know. Sir Winston got a better trip. Sir Winston won the race. In the Jim Dandy, obviously, he stumbled badly at the start. I thought he ran a terrific race just to get to second, and my first inclination was, well, it was that race going to that effort going to take too much out of him. Having watched him train, they put blinkers on him. I think he's been training exceptionally well. I actually go back to seeing him work before the Wood Memorial at Payson Park. And if you look at the way he worked back then to the way he's working now, he's a different horse in my eyes. Looking at Bill Mott's stats, I'm going to put a cross out the Bill Mott first-time blinkers at 3% over the last 2 years because I don't like that stat. But I think the idea is to get him to focus a little bit more. Jose Ortiz said he was distracted in the post-parade, distracted in the gate.
And we may have. I called for the head-on of the bad start so people get a look at that. And Tacitus, if you watch this and they pull it up, Tacitus will be the number five horse in here. And it's a stumble. I mean,
it's a bad stumble.
With an exclamation point.
And Jose was basically saying that he was looking around in the gate and got surprised when they sprung the latch. So hopefully this keeps him a little bit more focused. Now, let's see, there it is there.
He's the five.
Right. Now, I don't necessarily see him looking around there. I don't know that that's what caused it, but, I think the idea is to get just a more prepared at the start. And look, that could happen with blinkers on too. So, you know, the horse, to me, it's actually put up or shut up time for Tacitus.
And I think that's what,
in the bottom line, that's what it comes down to. And I think that if he breaks cleanly and gets the trip that I think he's going to work out here, I think he's the most likely winner. Of the horses you mentioned and of the horses that might be a bit of value, I've really liked Highest Honors. If you go back and look at all three of his races, even the race he got beat at Keeneland in the mud, he got squeezed in along the rail. He comes outside and makes a run at that horse winning numbers and almost won that race. And then he came back as he stretched out in distance. I thought his maiden win at Belmont was solid. He beat a horse called Meet Me in L.A., who is a nice horse at Jimmy Jerkins's. And then his race in the first time two turns in the Curlin was a really strong race. And I caught him galloping this morning on the Oklahoma track, and it looked like he was full of energy and wants this mile and a quarter. And you know, and as I said, I was just came from Chad Brown's barn, and he's pretty excited to run this horse as well as looking at Bikinis. But I kind of get the impression that this horse is the one that he thinks is his Travers horse. I did a story on Will Farish, the family coming up for the race, and the fact that they own both him and Code of Honor, and they tried to sell both horses at the auction ring as yearlings. Neither one of them sold. And as this horse came along, this horse was actually almost to the races last year. On September 1st, he had a bullet gatework here at Belmont at Saratoga, and he came out of that race with an ankle chip that he had to get removed. But Will Farish Jr. told me that Chad Brown in February texted him and said, "This is my Travers horse."
Ah, interesting. And Chad was enthusiastic at the draw the other night. I mean, trainers always are, but he seemed like legitimately. I think I got it. They're two lightly raced horses, and so there's all kinds of upside potential.
Right.
Highest Honor and looking at Bikinis. All right, let's go a little earlier. The Grade One Sword Dancer on the grass, $850,000, a mile and a half on the grass. I'm going to pull up from earlier in the meet, the Bowling Green. Channel Cat, the number 10, took them all the way around and held them off at 13-1. Yo Primo, the number 3, ran second. Arklow was third. Channel Maker, fourth. The 1, 2, and 4 finishers come back on Saturday. Channel Cat, Yo Primo, and Channel Maker. Will we get the front-end performance like that? I thought I had Channel Cat in some pick plays. I thought Channel Cat was all done. This was a pretty nice performance to come back and get the win, because it looked like that he was going to get swallowed up, but benefited from the pace on the front end and does get it done in here in the Bowling Green. But as I say, they come back. Will the pace play out the same in the Sword Dancer? We'll see. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I think Proven Reserves is in there as a rabbit to try and make sure that there's going to be pace. And I think pace, whether it's Channel Cat who goes or there was another horse in here that another horse I thought had a little bit of speed in here that could possibly go. Tis Morning, I think that even Noble Thought, I think there might be a little bit more pace in here than there was last time, and I think that's why Proven Reserves is in here. One of the horses that was in that race that you just showed that you didn't mention that I think has a big chance in here is Sadler's Joy, who won this race in 2017. He was the one in the yellow in that replay who was stuck on the inside and looked like for several strides couldn't be ridden because there was no place to go. He finishes only beating a length and a quarter in his first start since the Breeders' Cup last year. And if you go back to the Breeders' Cup, he beat all the good horses in America last year, finished ahead of them. He finished third behind Enable and Magical. What would those two be in here if this was? This is not the cream of the older male turf division. And while Sadler's Joy may be a step behind those types of horses, the Bricks and Mortars and whatnot, I think he fits with this group. I'm not in love with the outside draw, but I think he'll get at least be able to work out a cleaner and clearer trip. And if the pace is right, it should spread out a little bit. It should be able to save some ground. I think there's some value in Sadler's Joy.
He's also notable. That was his seasonal debut.
Right.
So you would think the potential there to move forward. All right. You alluded to it earlier, the Personal Ensign. It is a short field, but some solid quality in here. Midnight Bijou. Coach Rocks for our friend Roddy Valente comes out of a second, first and second in the Molly Pitcher, Midnight Bijou, and Coach Rocks. Coach Rocks, over the last couple, has kind of regained her nice form. But a late and Wildcat also in here. She's a Julie. I'm going to pull up the Delaware handicap. A late is going to be the number 7 horse in here and get it done by over 4 lengths as a 30-cent to a dollar favorite. Blue Prize runs third in this race, came back and ran well here just recently. But a late to me off of this performance comes in very good form. But with Midnight Bijou for Asmussen, and again, she's a Julie. This is a field of 6, but a fun field. Your thoughts on the Personal Ensign?
terrific field. Look, here's the thing with Midnight Bizu. It's a quirky stat, but she's undefeated at a mile and 16th and shorter, and she's winless at a mile and 8th and further. It's weird. There's no real explanation for it, I don't think. In fact, if you look at some of her races at a mile and 8th, she's closing at the finish, and that's kidding around with Steve Asmussen. He says it looks like she needs more ground, doesn't it? So it's just kind of a quirky stat, but what a resume Midnight Bizu brings in. You know, 5 for 5. She's won at Sam Houston, twice at Oaklawn Park, Belmont Park, and then the race at Monmouth. The thing that I'm interested in to see, and I know both the trainers I talked to who ran horses that night, is the July 20th, the horses that ran July 20th at Monmouth in that heat, and then the race, the delay. These horses shipped from here down to there, had to wait a while, and then they ran in the race. Talked to both trainers, Dale Romans of Coach Rocks and Steve Asmussen of Midnight Bizu, said they don't think it's a factor at all. The biggest factor Steve Asmussen has with Midnight Bizu is that she just hasn't run her A race at Saratoga. She's run twice up here. Look, she was second in the coach at Club Oaks to Monomoy Girl, but she was way by far the second best horse. You know, there was, if she had been beaten for second, it would have been an upset. She was third in the Alabama. She's a Julie finished ahead of her, and Eskimo Kisses won that race. But that's the big concern, is that she is good at Saratoga as she is elsewhere. Late is very good at Saratoga. She's won the Alabama here as a three-year-old. Last year was the big controversy in the personal ensign when Abel Tasman came out and they kind of came together. And depending on what side of the fence you were on, you thought it should have come down. I did. It didn't. And then the same thing happened in the coaching club with Abel Tasman and Elate back then as a three-year-old as well. So I think Elate likes this racetrack. She's got 4 starts this year as opposed to just the 1 start last year. Home field advantage to Elate. And also, you know, and this is, you know, who does a better job with older horses than Belmont, you know, with time to work on them. And I actually thought her move that she made in the Delaware Park to get into contention was very strong and showed another versatility.
You make a great point that we won't really get answered until after the race, but that night down at Monmouth, because certainly Maximum Security is, we're waiting for him to come back, and you'd have to think maybe that took a little toll on him.
It's just interesting to see. Now, I haven't tracked the horse. I'm sure there are horses that have run since then, and I haven't done any tracking of horses that ran that card, but it will be interesting to see.
Absolutely. A couple more that we'll take, three more grade ones we'll take a look at here. The Alan Jerkins grade one for the three-year-old sprinting, and I had to pull this up, the Amsterdam from earlier in the meet, Chancelot, the number 12 horse here, just a freakish performance. The chart margin is 12.5 lengths. Chancelot, this was the third career start. Looking at the page, a 121 buyer figure. Can he put two together like that, though?
He's going to bounce, okay?
But he
can still bounce and win this race. Yeah. I don't know that we'll see that performance again. Interesting enough, he had to post 12 in that spot. He's got the rail this time. He's got a break, obviously, because he's never been behind horses. He's usually kicking dirt behind other horses. Call Paul next to him has a bit of speed. If Call Paul breaks better than Chancelot, I think the break is all important here, which obviously you can't know what's going to happen ahead of time. But that was a wow effort. Top three performance. I've been doing this 28 years, and easily a top three performance, if not top two, for me, for what he did in the Amsterdam. And he said he was going to come here to train. He stayed at Monmouth Park to train. He apparently has the same type of workout leading into this race as he did the Amsterdam. If he breaks, he's gone, and, it'll be fun. Hopefully, it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's just, that was an iPod. Like, it's funny, yeah. He can bounce. He can still lose, like, 10 or 11 points. And
right. He can run a 109, and still, which is 12 points less. If anybody else runs 12 points less, they might be, on the poor performance list.
I want to take a look at the Ballerina also. And here I'm not going to pull up a race. I'm actually going to pull up a workout from Come Dancing, because the buzz has been Come Dancing has just looked great in the morning for Carlos Martin. Comes out of a second in the Ogden Phipps, but before that a win in the Ruffian, win in the Distaff. Very interesting performer coming up here to Saratoga to sprint amongst the girls in the Grade 1 Ballerina. And as I say, the buzz in the morning on Come Dancing has just been phenomenal.
She's been training great. You know, I think everything sort of worked out with the exception of the Phipps, where she stumbled at the start and really was just no match for Midnight Bizu. Everything has gone really well for Come Dancing this year. Before the Chancelot was wearing that 121, I believe that Come Dancing's 114 in the Distaff was the highest speed figure run by any horse this year. Look at, and watching this work here, look at those ears, they're straight up. Javier Castellano is on her. He's been on her for all her works up here because he's going to ride her. The owner, Mark Holliday, wanted to make a change. He wanted Javier Castellano on the horse. Nothing that Manny Franco did wrong. But this is the blowout work, the 35-3 from her last breeze. And, yeah, she was just doing it in really a relative canter. And she's just an impressive filly to watch train. And, you know, she's had a little bit of issues at the gate as well. Even in the Ruffian that she won at Belmont, she had her head turned at the start and, didn't break as sharply. And then but she was just way better than those horses. And then again, you know she got a lot of respect when she was 4-5 against Midnight Bizou in the Ogden Phipps. There aren't too many horses that will be favored over Midnight Bizou in any spot. But, she just wasn't up to that. Back to 7/8, freshened up. You know, as soon as the Phipps was over, this became the new target. And, look, her best race to date has been the 7/8 race, and it came off a lengthy layoff. So I think she's primed to run her best. I wish she would have drawn toward the outside because, to see what happens with some of the other speed in here, which I think is drawn to the outside in minutes of stardom. And I think Mia Mischief is going to be put into the race early. But hopefully Javier can break well enough, let those two maybe go, one or two of those go, and get to the outside and pounce.
All right. And finally, let's take a look at one of my favorite races every year, but one of the reasons, named after one of my favorite horses as I got into the game 4 ago, was out there doing his job, which in a way we don't see anymore, actually carrying some weight, 130 and more, and getting it done. But the 4 ago this year, grade one event, 7 furlongs the distance, $600,000 up for grabs, had to pull up the Nehrud from Belmont on July 6th. The winner will be number 9, Promises Fulfilled. Does it very easily with a lifetime best buyer number of 108. Subsequently, plenty of time off for Dale Romans. But again, down in the one post position, which may be a negative, Matoli certainly has the eligibility to bounce back after the Vanderbilt. Again, field of 6, but I think very competitive. Your thoughts?
It's a solid race. It's kind of a showdown, though. Promises Fulfilled and Matoli. They've already met twice this year. Matoli got the better of him in the Churchill Downs handicap and in the Met Mile. Matoli did not run his race in the Vanderbilt when he got beat 7 lengths by Imperial Hint. Nobody was beating Imperial Hint that day. The Imperial Hint's performance was great. For 24 hours until you saw Chancelot in the Amsterdam the next day. But, he had the inside post. He got caught in a speed duel. Now he can be the cat as opposed to the mouse because the Promises Fulfilled, he's got a gun from the rail. And Matoli with Santana up there can sit third or can sit second. And I just don't know if there's anyone else in here really good enough to get the job done. Ferenc Fire has been a little bit disappointing in his last couple of starts. And obviously he prefers Belmont Park. Not that he hasn't won at Saratoga, but... I do like where he's drawn, but I just think Matoli, stalks Promises Fulfilled, and I don't think Steve would run him in this spot if he wasn't comfortable with how he came out of the race and how he's doing going into this race. Now, part of me thinks Steve doesn't want to wait till the Vosburgh at Belmont because he doesn't really need to see Imperial Hint again until the Breeders' Cup. But this looks like a good spot. I like Matoli's last work. I wasn't in love with his first work back off the race. But his last couple have been solid, and I'm expecting to see Matoli bounce back.
Again, lots of grade one action. We skipped one of the stakes, which wasn't a grade one, but plenty of graded stakes action with plenty of grade ones on Saturday. A very nice card. You've kind of alluded to it. Always want to tout when we have the Daily Racing Form guys on. Still the opportunity to pull up the workout reports. There'll still be those nice two-year-old races that benefit a lot from the workout reports. Go to drf.com. for more there. Dave, as I said at the top, you're in the rotation with Mike Welch, and that means unless there's a change in the batting order, this will be your last visit for this year, and certainly want to thank you for stopping by. And
appreciate
on behalf of all the readers of the Daily Racing Form, keep up the good work there, because a lot of great coverage of the meet and going forward Belmont. And remind people, it's going to be a little quirky at Belmont this year.
Yeah, so Belmont Park, which starts on September 6th, Friday, September 6th, the post times when we're at Belmont is going to be 3 o'clock for the weekday cards, where it'll be 7 or 8 race cards, and then 1 o'clock on the weekends. That's to accommodate the construction for the new arena that's going to be built. And then we're there until October 6th, and then we finish the Belmont meet at Aqueduct. So October 11th to like the October 26th, about 14 days of racing, will be considered, what are we going to call it, Aquamont something?
Aquamont.
We'll have to come up with a catchy name for that.
Bell Duct.
Sure. Maybe we'll have a poll.
What Twitter is for.
There you go. Twitter can put that up there. So 3 o'clock. So if you're working late, you know, if you, you get off work early on the weekdays, you can catch the last few races at Belmont on the OTB channel.
That's going to be the game plan. Dave, again, appreciate the visit, and we'll have a fall visit down to either Belmont or Aqueduct, I'm sure, so we'll see you then, and we'll have you by phone certainly during the Belmont Aqueduct season as well. But again, appreciate the visits during the Saratoga meet.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will be visited by Steve Coons, Leah Infinity, one of our sponsors here during the meet. We want to get updated on what they have offering for you. So Steve, also a big racing fan, maybe we'll get a thought on the Travers from Steve as well. Stay tuned. We'll wrap things up right after this. Dave, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, as always. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Except I'm just going to take this clock away.
Okay. Yeah. Just,
you
know? Yeah.
You don't need it anyway.
Yeah, just.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
We don't pay attention to the clock anyway, so we're going to go along here, but that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry for the delay, but the big weekend we got going with all these guys. And,
I'm sure.
But we can run over.
No problem.
Don't listen to me.
Don't listen to me.
We own the network. We can do whatever we want.
You're on your own schedule, right?
Exactly. Anything in particular you want to talk about? I was just going to kind of tee you up and where you're located. And
just give me some, you know, softballs to pitch at, and we'll be good to go.
I mean, any specials or something I should hit on?
Yeah, luxury cars, value, where we're located, how long we've been around. Right. You know, the Leah family. I'd like to pitch them a little bit.
Ask them about the jukebox in Bill's house.
It's pretty nice. Does Bill sing for you?
What's that?
Have you heard him sing?
We were at his 50th or 60th birthday party a long time ago, and he turned the jukebox on, and he was singing away.
Oh yeah, he sings at dinner once in a while. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right,
great guy.
Here we come. Welcome back. Thursday morning here live from Saratoga on Racing Across America. Again, as I said, we'll wrap things up with Steve Coons, the general manager, Leah Infinity, one of the sponsors. And we always like to give the sponsors a little opportunity to come talk about their product because we appreciate their sponsorship helping us put on the show up here at Saratoga and bring you all the trainers and the jockeys and whatnot. But certainly want to talk a little Leah Infinity with Steve. Good morning.
Morning. How are you today?
Very good.
Great.
And I understand you're a racing fan as well.
I am a racing fan. Been coming to the track for better part of 35 years.
Having a good season?
I am having a good season.
Yeah, that's what we like
this
to
year.
Hear.
This year.
That's what we like to hear. You got a Travers thought?
Not at the moment.
All right.
Still looking.
You still got
still
a couple
looking.
Days. Right. Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm tilting towards Owendale, but I reserve the right to juggle things around a little bit. All right, let's talk a little Leah. First, Leah Infinity, where are you guys located?
Route 9 in Latham. We've been there 11 years now. Big white building, great place. All brand new, state-of-the-art facility. It's a good place.
Talk about the Leah Infinity product, and I think we have a shot here, actually, of one of the cars, and I think we have, a 250 maybe that I pulled off the website. But just talk about the Infinity line.
Well, next couple of years, we're going to have a lot of good product coming. Right now, our value is leasing the car and buying cars. We just really have a good lineup and good product, and it's safety, performance, value. That's what we really strive for.
As I say, sharp looking cars certainly. I like that the red Infinity.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about if folks stop in on Route 9, the service and the amenities you provide for folks who are maybe thinking about buying a new, leasing, or maybe even a used car.
So come to the store, drive right in. It's drive-up service. We have four or five people there to greet you. We'll take care of you. If you have an Infiniti already, we'll give you a loaner car. Full warranty. We sell a lot of certified cars, unlimited mileage on a certified car. So you can drive the car as long as you want under warranty. We sell a lot of those good off-lease cars.
So we really do a good job.
Yeah, and as I say, folks can visit the website. You saw it up there, leahinfinity.com. And when I was shopping for a car a couple of years ago, I pulled up some websites, and that's kind of a nice way to get an idea. And then you go into the dealership itself and get the service and whatnot, and maybe get to go out for a test drive and really get the feel for the car.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things with online appointments, online talking to our people. We have a chat session. All of our pictures are online. Everything's updated daily. So we can do a chat, a live chat. So whatever you need to do to contact us, get involved, we're there.
Talk a little bit about once somebody's bought the car, what's the service policy and the service bays and whatnot that are on at the Route 9 facility?
We have a great state-of-the-art facility in our service drive. You drive in. All of our technicians are in an air-conditioned building, which is very rare. All brand new LED lighting, state-of-the-art equipment. We just put in new alignment racks and all state-of-the-art things to just really take care of the customer and what they need when they get there.
Talk a little bit about the feedback you get from Infiniti owners.
Well, if you go on DealerRater.com, we're rated a 5-star dealer out of 5 stars. So our service is second to none. We've had Lisa is our service advisor, and if anybody knows Lisa, you'll know she's great. She's just absolutely the best service person we've ever had, and I'd put her against anybody in the Capital District.
How long have you been associated with Leah Infiniti?
I've known the Leah family for about 20 years now, and I came to work with them about 9 years ago. And they're a good family to work for.
Talk a little bit about the family, because folks, Leah, I have
sticks in your head, right?
Exactly. The commercials, and it's not just Leah Infiniti. I mean, it's a whole Leah group,
right?
That is part of our advertising package as well, with locations all around the Capital District. So talk a little bit about the overall group with the Leah family themselves.
Yeah, they started off in the Capital District with one little store in Del Mar, New York. They've grown to 22 stores. They're in 3 states. You know, as far as Brewster, New York, and Connecticut, Massachusetts, the family is just fantastic to work for.
Still based locally?
Absolutely. Corporate office is right in Albany. All the family lives local, and they're very involved in the business every single day.
Yeah, and that's nice that it is. There's a local connection, and I think that gives folks who maybe look and then wind up buying from Leah Infiniti, that gives a little bit of confidence as well that it's locally based like that with the ownership. Again, talk a little bit about if folks are looking for a car at this point, new or used, and as I say, buy or lease, what would be the game plan?
Well, I think you go to leahcars.com, and you pick a brand or you pick something you're looking for, and they'll 5,000 to 6,000 cars on there at any given time. And all you have to do is hit a button, and you can chat with any one of the stores or send an email, and they'll get back to you, usually within 3 minutes or 4 minutes. It's that quick.
And then again, you can swing by any of the locations. The Leah Infiniti location, again, remind us where that is.
Route 9 in Latham, 1 mile north of the traffic circle on the right-hand side.
Super convenient. And again, if you're looking for a new car, and again, talk a little bit about buying versus leasing and the popularity of leasing currently.
Well, if you're a customer that likes to get into a new car every couple of years and you don't want to keep it a long time and you don't want to pay the repair bills, you want to stay under warranty, then you're a really good leasing candidate. If you like to keep your car forever, like my parents, they just buy a car and it's theirs forever. I mean, 13, 14 years old. And they just drive them and drive them and drive them and get all the money they can out of them.
And I assume if somebody shows up and they're debating, should I lease or should I buy, they can go over that with you guys and you guys will crunch the numbers and make sense for them.
Absolutely. We'll give them all the numbers they need. Very, very open disclosure. We'll show them the advantages of both and try to figure out what's best for them. Even if they owe money on their car, sometimes it's better to lease and get that negative equity out of the way.
Very good. And again, Steve, we appreciate the visit. We appreciate the sponsorship from the Leah Group. Couldn't do this without you. And so on behalf of all the viewers, too, thanks. And I will tout the viewers, if you're thinking of a new car, think of the Leah Group. We appreciate the visit.
Thank you so much.
And continued success at the meet.
We'll see what, how about that. Yeah, we don't know.
You got a week.
Good luck at the Travers.
That's a big weekend. And typically, I don't know why, but I've always done well at the last week, so I'm looking forward to
We have something in common. I do best that week as well.
A lot of people, for some reason. Maybe it's just now you've kind of figured things out a little bit. You know who's hot and who's not, and the horses who are running have had one or two starts already. So maybe that's,
you see a little history. You can handicap it a little better. I'm with you.
What's your favorite bet?
I do an exacta box usually.
I'm an exacta box guy too. Although the last couple of years, I've started looking at picks a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the picks have been killing me this summer.
Picks are tough. Bet the favorite on the pick.
And middle of the sequence. Steve, appreciate the visit. And again, we tell people LeahInfinity.com, LeahAutoGroup.com. We tout visiting the website or stopping by the Route 9 location.
Yep, come see us anytime. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We appreciate, again, your sponsorship. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. Again, swing on by today. Try the low rollers. I will jump in again on this Thursday afternoon, every Thursday and Sunday. So I want to tout you to that. Lots of great promotions coming up down at the Racebook and beyond as well. There's a Fan Appreciation Day that's coming up. There's also the $1,000 bankroll on Saturday. Oh, there's the bounty bet tomorrow. So keep that in mind. The bounty bet and a pick five bankroll tomorrow. Saturday's the $1,000 bankroll. And you have until tonight to get your shot to sign up for the bankroll team via CapitalOTB.com. That's where you can find out about all the promos and events as well. CapitalOTB.com. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for this Thursday morning. Back in tomorrow at 9 o'clock with Handicapper Support. 10 o'clock with Racing Across America. We'll see you then. Nice.
Great. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thought we did well.
That was good. Okay,
appreciate it.
That was very
good.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we hit on it, all the important, the pertinent.
Yeah, we did all the way down the line. I was very happy with that.
Yeah, good.
My phone kept buzzing because everybody's seeing me on. They're like, where you at? Jesus. Easy, guys. Yeah. All right. Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the meet.
Yeah, you too. Good luck.
Yeah.